If you'll repeat after me, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
My eyes work.
My eyes work.
My ears work.
My ears work.
My heart works.
My heart works.
I do perceive
that your plan
is unfolding for me. I want to remind you that when we obey the Lord, the brains kind of usually have a little bit of a problem. Anybody know what I'm talking about? As my morning was filled with all kinds of circumstances, I had a few words during the night, but it didn't seem to be for today. Well, I said to the Lord, I'm open. What do you want? And the first word I heard was the Amplified. So I knew it was the Amplified Bible. He said, go to Isaiah chapter 11. So that's where we're going together. Isaiah chapter 11. You know, how can Jesus be called the Son of David when there's so many generations between them?
Bloodline.
Huh?
Bloodline.
Yeah. Bloodline. Inside the blood is carried an anointing. It says in Genesis that the blood was crying out from the earth because his brother killed him. And we sometimes poo-poo that away. I remember being in Jerusalem close to 20 years ago now and being very conscious of the stones and the cracks between the stones, the cobblestones, the flagstones, and the great big blocks of stone. I think the place where it was most predominant was in the cellar where the nuns had tried to develop their basement, and come to find out it was the place where Jesus was judged. At least that's where they believe. And there was an incredible anointing in that room. And as I walked around, I remember the man who was giving the message about this particular place, and the Holy Spirit's got me walking around. And I'm pretty tall, and of course it's a basement, and there wasn't much room in some corners. I think it was barely 5 feet. And I'm walking around the perimeter, and all I'm focused on is the cracks. The cracks. The cracks. And some of those stones was not that wide. And the anointing in the room was like, oh my God, what is wrong with me? Because we look at ourselves and why we're reacting or acting in a certain way. But the anointing was changing something within me. And it was the awareness of the love that Christ had to keep his mouth shut under all those accusations. And when they were whipping him and the blood was splattering all over those floors, some of that blood went into those cracks in between those stones where no man can touch. Oh, you could wash it. The rain would come. And all that would happen would be the blood would go deeper. Deeper into the ground, underneath the stones, to the very core of the earth.
Yeah.
So now, verse 1. There shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse, David's father, and a branch out of his roots shall grow and bear fruit. Confirmed in Revelations 5:5, Revelations 22, verse 16. Verse 2 is very important. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, the spirit of the word of knowledge. I added the word of knowledge. And the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord. Verse 3, and shall make him of quick understanding. And his delight shall be in the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness and justice shall he judge the poor, and decide with fairness for the meek, the poor and the downtrodden of the earth. And he shall smite the earth and the oppressors with a rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his waist, and faithfulness the girdle of his loins. Now, there's a total of seven. And I could separate them and show you which one is which, but I think that's homework for you guys. But to see what the Father would be putting in Jesse, the father of King David, passing it on to his son and many, many generations down the road would come Mary. And in her would be that bloodline confirmed by the Heavenly Father and release that seed that lay dormant for generations. Now, there are times that God's going to put you in situations that you don't understand. And your brain is going to try to figure you out.
That's right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. But you have the spirit of wisdom available, chapter 2. I'm sorry, verse 2. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and reverential and obedient fear of the Lord. See, if you and I rely on these gifts that are in us by the Holy Ghost, you're going to have a whole new trip with your brain. Do you ever try to go to sleep and your brain won't shut down?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. How about asking the Holy Ghost to kind of take over? You know, you could do that. How about just praying in the Holy Ghost before you go to sleep? My wife usually gets upset with me because by the time I'm ready to go to bed, my spirit has been empowered. And usually, I lay down and in 30 seconds, I'm gone. And she gets irritated. That's what wives are for once in a while. Not all the time now, remember, I said once in a while. And whenever she talks about this, I tell her, well, all I do is I lay down my head, give her a good night kiss, roll over, and by that time I'm gone. I'm on a trip. Where God takes me, that's up to him. Why? There are times he will say to me, will you release your spirit tonight? Well, that's up to me, isn't it? Will I release my spirit? Why? Because I have free will. I can say, no, I just want it to rest. Or I can say, use whatever you have in me for your people and for your body of believers. Where do you think selfishness goes after that comment?
Under our feet.
Yeah, under your feet. You have authority. You have abilities. You have choices. And you can be selfish about it, but you know your spirit can go to Israel tomorrow morning during the time that you're sleeping. Do a work over there and come back, and you'll wake up refreshed. Why be so selfish? Maybe the White House needs a visit. Maybe the Senate needs a visit. Maybe, just maybe, there may be a place where you need to pray. I have a confession. In 1996, there was a strong press to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles in Washington, D.C. So I got a call from my brother and his wife, and they wanted to join me. So we went down. Can't tell you how many we were. But Wade Taylor had a house on Massachusetts Avenue. And we rented a hotel, several hotel rooms actually, not too far from there. And this week, something happened that I won't go into the details of. But I'm praying in the Spirit. It's about 3 o'clock in the morning. I've just taken communion, and all of a sudden the Lord said, now dedicate this one to me. So I lifted up a piece of the bread. And instantly, I'm back in Washington, D.C. And Wade Taylor is laying hands on me. And one of the things that he would do is he would impart. That was the gift that was in this man of God. And out of my mouth, in tongues, came the words. And when those words came, the Lord said, now is the time that that word that was deposited and imparted to you by him is now coming to life. I said, well, my God, that's 22 years, Lord. He says, is that a problem for you, son? Okay? So I'm not going to tell anybody, because after all, this is private. This is Kim and me. Kim and the Lord having a party. So telephone rings around. I went back to bed. I slept for a few hours. My brother calls. He's all excited. He says, I feel so good this morning. Oh, I feel so good. Because he was not feeling well, and he was hurting, and his body was hurting, and blah, blah, blah. A lot of combinations. So anyway, long story short, he's all excited. And I said, well, he says, I don't know what happened, but you guys did something. He says, I feel so great this morning. And I said, well, I want to take credit for that one, right? So I said, well, I think we need to pray. And he says, yeah, I know we need to pray. So we started to pray. And all of a sudden, out of my mouth, because it came out in tongues, and then it came out in English. It came out in French. That what was deposited in him in 1996 was coming alive now. And now I'm thinking, oh my God, brain problems. This can get you and me to shut down the Holy Ghost anytime it wants. Why? Because it likes to control. The mind, the will, and the emotions want to control everything, want to keep everybody happy. We want to orchestrate things so that nobody gets their feathers flustered because of the choice that you and I make. I should have heard a big amen.
Amen.
That's called slavery. Because instead of being obedient to the calling of the Holy Ghost, you are now obedient to every detail of your household in order to keep everybody on an even keel so that you won't get criticized or condemned.
Amen.
Oh, I got a few friends here. Are you giggling? Ah. I know. I lived it too, and I still do periodically because I see myself and I say, oh my God, when is this coming to an end? When? And needless to say, I believe the Holy Ghost is saying 2018 is going to be different than 2017. Amen. And there's going to be rulership and vibrations inside of us that are going to cause us to obey Him instead of people. Hallelujah. Oh, that would be a difference, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So instead of being committed to serving people, we would be committed to serve the Lord. What a trip that would be. You're smiling, John.
I am?
Yeah. You
should stop it. Those who smile can pick them.
Verse 3. I shall make him quick, of quick understanding, and his delight shall be in the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, neither decide by the hearing of his ears. I had to be very careful about the circumstances that I was listening to yesterday because of the death of Mike. And I had to be very, very careful because my ears and my eyes have seen things that I would prefer to say would be different. But it is what it is, and I need to deal with it from God's perspective and not from man. And I could see things that are stirring underneath to try to bring division. And my choice is not to let division enter in. What does division do? It separates and it divides and it destroys. When there's harmony and there's love and there's compassion, nothing can break down that wall. So holding on to the reverential fear of the Lord and cautiously not responding to what I saw and what I heard. 1st 4 is what I did my best to obey. But with righteousness and justice shall he judge the poor and decide with fairness for the meek, the poor and the downtrodden of the earth. And he shall smite the earth and the oppressor with the rod of his mouth. The rod of your mouth is really the word of God coming out of your mouth against the darkness, the oppressor, the stealer, the deceiver, the liar, the divider. And with the breath of his lips, he shall slay the wicked. Why? Because you have all authority that's been given to you. Jesus did not put up with the people of his day that were on a different road to destruction. He did not join their coordinates. And it got him in trouble. Did that ever get you and I in trouble? Yeah. Verse 5, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his waist, and faithfulness the girdle of his loins. Righteousness shall be the girdle of his waist, and faithfulness the girdle of his loins. You see, what we wear spiritually over our private parts. God is interested. And so should you be. And when you're in that space of questioning the Lord about how to go forward, don't be afraid to ask and then wait as best you can. Because you're going to have a tendency to make quick decisions so to solve a problem so nobody else will get hurt. That is again another trick from darkness. So righteousness is what you are. It's a gift that you receive from God. I am righteous by faith in what Jesus did on the cross for me. Romans 5. I'm justified by faith and in his blood. That's what makes me holy. It's not a bunch of rules and regulations to make people happy. Or to make God happy, because sometimes we are slaves to even those kind of gods. Gods of rules and gods of regulations. And instructions instead of compassion. Compassion and grace are greater. Amen? And amen. Ah, Rianna, she did.